We thank you, Lord, for his supernatural working among us. We thank you, Father, for the sure and certain knowledge that if your Spirit can cause us to speak in a language that we have never learned, then he can also put English words in our mouth that we perhaps have never been taught, and communicate deep things of the Spirit of God without our mind having to understand them. Thank you for that, Father. In the name of Jesus, now we yield ourselves to your Spirit. Amen. As I began to prepare, and normally what I do is outline the messages that I'm going to preach, as I began to prepare and try to make an outline for what I wanted to say, I couldn't make an outline. All I could do was pray in tongues. And I would try to get some order to what was inside me, and I couldn't put any order to it. All I could do was just pray in the Spirit. And I would try to get it down and pray some more, and I'd try to get it down and just pray some more. And then this morning, when I came into the church, I went into my office for just a few moments, and I did write down a few scriptures, and perhaps we'll follow that format. We'll see. It may just tear them all up and throw them away. We'll see what happens. But let's start over in the Gospel of St. Mark. Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter, and perhaps what I'm going to share with you this morning will not be all that much revelation to you, but it just caught me up short. I was reminded about some things that the Lord had shown me way, way back. And as I recounted those experiences and meditated on those experiences, I became aware of a very subtle work that the devil has done in Christians to keep us separated from God and to keep us from walking in his blessing. Very subtle. It would not be something that you would recognize except by the Spirit of God. But I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is going to open up some eyes this morning, some spiritual eyes, and open up some hearts, and I believe he's going to open up the channel today for his blessing. And some of you that have been struggling with healing, with the Holy Ghost baptism, with deliverance, with prosperity, you've been struggling with any of the doctrines of the church, I want you to listen very carefully, because I'm going to give you this morning the fundamental doctrine that makes all the rest of them work. Mark chapter 12, beginning to read in the 28th verse. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, this is a mistake that so many of us make. We reason together. And perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, listen to this now, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Jesus said, what is the first commandment, the greatest commandment? And the man answered, God is one, and thou shalt love him with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Jesus said, listen carefully to what you just said. Because in that you just said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. If you want to know how the kingdom of God works, if you want to know how the benefits of kingdom living flow, listen to this counsel. What sparked Jesus' response? Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. This man said, the most important thing in life, the single most important thing that a man can do, is to love God with everything he has and everything that he is. And Jesus said, in loving God with everything that you are and have, you are entering the kingdom of God and all of the benefits that accrue. In the book of the Exodus, the 20th chapter, you needn't turn over there, but in the first few verses, verse number 3, recounts the first of the 10 commandments. How many of you remember what the first of the 10 commandments was? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. What does that mean? Thou shalt love me with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. In other words, I won't share your heart with anybody. You can't have any other gods but me if you're going to live a life that's pleasing to me. Now let's turn over to the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter number 3. And get a little additional insight here. Philippians chapter 3. Now we're going to look at a good bit of scripture this morning, Lord willing, in order to put together a package, so to speak. Philippians chapter 3. Beginning to read in the 8th verse and reading 3 verses. Now watch this carefully. Here is one of the great men of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. And he is giving you and I insight into how his heart works. Here is a man mightily used of God. Here is a man that was greatly persecuted, but in every instance delivered by the Lord. Here's a man that walked in the miracle power of Jesus. Here's a man who walked in a place where I believe a great many of you would want to walk. Here's his testimony. Yea, doubtless, without a doubt, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, I want to say that again, and I want you to listen very carefully. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. What's he saying? I trade everything I have and everything I want, I trade them for one thing, to know Jesus. I'll give up everything I've got, everything I ever will have, for one thing and one thing only, and that is to know him. Now, there's a great mistake being made in the lives of Christians and in churches worldwide. Believers are being taught to seek health instead of Christ. Believers are being taught to seek salvation instead of Jesus. Believers are being taught to seek tongues instead of the baptizer. Believers are being taught to seek prosperity instead of the blesser. People are being taught to seek power instead of the power giver. Do you understand that? Paul said, and this is what I want to get across to you this morning. I want you to listen carefully. Paul said, I will trade everything. I'll trade my health. I'll trade my power. I'll trade my money. I will trade everything I have to know Jesus. That's the one thing, the one overwhelming motivation in my life, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's the thing that powers me on the inside. I've got to know him. Everything else takes second place. Now, there's a very subtle difference here, you see, in Bible Christianity. Bible Christianity directs us to Jesus. Church Christianity sometimes directs us to His blessings. Are you listening to me? And the Bible is filled with people who did not seek the blessing, but who sought the blesser. Okay? Now, salvation is for today. Healing is for today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. Prosperity is for today. Miracles are for today. But if you seek after those things and love those things, you're a long way from the kingdom of God. How are you going to get near the kingdom of God? You're going to love Him. Are you listening to me? I'm going to read it again. Now I want to read down through the 10th verse. Yea, doubtless, without a doubt, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Do you know what dung is? Animal manure. Animal manure. I count all those things dung that I may win Christ. Woo! Hallelujah! And be found in Him. In Him. I want to be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Watch verse 10. That I may what? Know Him. That I may know Him. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now watch this. I'm laying a foundation here. I'm going to give you some practical application in just a moment. But I want to lay the scriptural foundation, and then I'm going to get somewhat more specific. Beginning to read in the 17th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ. Say that. We preach Christ. Say that again. The most successful preacher that ever lived other than Christ himself, what did he preach?
Christ.
He preached Christ. Why would he preach just Christ? Because when you have Him, you have everything. When you preach Jesus, you've preached everything. When you've received Jesus, you've received everything. For He's all of it. We preach Christ. I want you to underline that. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, watch this, Christ, the power of God. Say that with me. Christ, the power of God. Jesus is the power of God. When you know Him, you know what?
Everything.
You know the power of God. You got it all. And the wisdom of God. When you know Him, you know what? Everything. So you have wisdom. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now I want you to remember that verse, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now let me tell you what has happened. I'm not done reading in that passage. Don't close your Bible yet, but I want to explain something. A great many Christians have made this very serious mistake. They have gotten so much word in them that they are now using the word as a tool to run their own life. And when they are done, look at how I got my healing. Look how I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Look how God did a miracle through me. Now, the Bible says that God operates in a way to prevent glory from going any place but to himself. That no flesh would glory in his presence. That kind of an attitude is going to prevent the blessing of God from flowing in your life because you're the one that gets the glory. I got healed because I had so much word in me. Amen. Amen. Come on. Verse number 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What does that mean? I should seek wisdom? No. I should seek Jesus, because Jesus is wisdom to me. I should seek righteousness? No. I should seek Jesus, because he is made righteousness unto me. I should seek sanctification? No, I should seek Jesus, because he is made sanctification to me. But I should seek redemption? No, I should seek Jesus, because he is made redemption unto me. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now there's a great danger, and I believe there's a great danger in Satan misusing the teaching, the great teaching that's going forth in the body of Christ today. There's great danger for man to fall back on his old nature. Now follow with me now carefully, and you'll understand what I'm trying to get at in just a few moments. When we got saved, now let me give you an example of how it was with me when I got saved. Some of you will identify with this. When I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life in August of 1975, I was a heavy smoker, I was a social drinker, and I had a dirty mouth. I mean a bad mouth, profane. I had enough respect for women that I wouldn't be profane around a woman, but I could really, really sling blue around the guys I worked with. And if I were to nick my finger like I did yesterday here, I could really send forth some blue. But when I got born again, I did not seek freedom from my bad tongue. I did not seek freedom from a desire for alcohol or any of those things. I sought only Jesus. And lo and behold, when I made him the Lord of my life, my mouth changed. It was like I had swallowed a bar of ivory soap. But it was better. It wasn't 99 44 100ths. It was 100% pure. I mean, that stuff just left me. It just departed from me. Why? Because I knew him. I had been saved maybe a month or so. I'm just guessing now. I didn't write down the date because I didn't realize how significant it was at the time. But I went up to Charlotte, North Carolina. I had a business in Charlotte. And I took a couple of our people out, a couple of my managers there, out to dinner. And as customary, when you go to a nice restaurant, the waitress says, "Can I bring you something to drink while you're looking over the menu and so on?" And he says, "Yes, I'll have a so-and-so." And he says, "I'll have a so-and-so." I think it was beer. That's a semi-dry state, some of you know. And he said, I'll have a beer, and I'll have a beer. And she looked at me, and I said, I'll have a glass of iced tea. Now, it would have been customary for me to have had a beer or something else. But you see, I was new on the inside, and out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth spoke. I did not decide to quit drinking. It just happened. It just developed. Why? Because I had loved him. I loved him, and he just cleaned that out of me. It was just gone. It just left me. Cigarettes left me the same way. About a month after I was saved, one day, they're just completely gone. The desire left me. I can't stand them now. Can't even stand the smell of them. Have never had the desire for that. About 4 or 5 months, maybe 6, 7 months it was, but it was in the first year after I was saved. I took some of our people out to dinner. We went down into an underground Atlanta place. Some of you have been to Dante's Down the Hatch when it was down there in underground Atlanta. And I had all of my salesmen and crew and so on there with me. And to show them that I wasn't a prude, I bought them a drink. Now, I'm a born-again Christian, right? I love the Lord. I really do. I bought them all a drink. And so in order to be sociable, I had a glass of port wine with them. Saved. When I got home that night, my head was about to split. I had the most terrible headache that I think I've ever had. And I laid down on the bed and I was bemoaning this headache. And I mean, I don't get like that. But I'm just having a time over this stupid headache. And the Lord is showing me, I didn't realize at the time, but I said to Lois, I said, you don't think it could have been that glass of wine I drank? And she says, uh-huh. And it was. It was. And the Lord was showing me that that destroyed my testimony and I didn't need that. I mean, I didn't want it. The only reason I drank it was the reasons that I explained to you. And that's the last I've had, the last I've ever wanted. I can't stand it. The smell of it nauseates me. And I can minister to people who are under the influence. But as far as I can handle that kind of a situation. But as far as being around it socially and sort of, I just don't want to have anything to do with it. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. And many of you, I think, will be able to witness to this in your own life, that when you met the Lord and when you got saved, you loved him with all of your heart and soul, and he began to cleanse your life. Things began to fall off your life. How many of you can say amen, amen to that? Things just began to change in your life. Then you got the Word of God in you, and you decided like I did. You said, ooh, I know how to work this now. Now I can use God's Word and him to manipulate the circumstances of my life, and I put myself back on the throne again. But now instead of doing sin, I'm just using the Word of God, and I've got a formula, 1, 2, 3, 4, this is how I do things. I put this to work, and I run my own life. Now, let me show you what spirit that is. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. 3, I'm sorry. Now, many of you are doing this today without really knowing it. I have done it time after time after time without realizing I was doing it. Now, I must get across to you this morning. If I don't get anything else across to you, I must get this across to you. We do not seek salvation, we seek the Savior. We do not seek healing, we seek the healer. How many times have you ministered to somebody who was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit? They're trying to receive the baptism, and they can't receive the baptism. And we say in our omnipotent, great wisdom, we say, well, now, you don't seek the gift. You seek the giver. You don't seek tongues. You seek the Lord. And then we go out and seek healing. Amen. Amen. That's the way we do it. And we don't get healed. Why don't we get healed? Because we're making the same dumb mistake on healing that this poor brother made on the Holy Ghost baptism. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now what tree was it God forbade them to eat of? What tree? Somebody said the tree of life. That's not true. God wanted them to eat of the tree of life and to have eternal life. But he said, you should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why not? It's not necessary for us to know good and evil. It is only necessary for us to know the one who knows. Now, God's plan for man was that we should not know the difference between good and evil, but that we should know him. You see, we do not perfectly know good. We do not perfectly know evil. The devil can package up evil and make it look good. And if we're making our own judgments, we're going to choose evil and call it good. But if we know God, he knows perfect good and he knows perfect evil. And as long as we know him, then he can show us which choices to make. What God wanted Adam to do and all of his descendants was to know him, to love him, to follow him, and to listen to him. But Satan came along and said, "You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, desired to make one wise. If I eat of this tree, I won't have to depend on God anymore. I will know myself. I can make my own decisions. I'm going to be enlightened about these things, and now I will be my own God. I do not need God any longer. And she turned away from the love of God and turned away from the knowledge of God, and she turned back to herself and she put herself back on the throne of her life. How many of you understand what I'm saying here? All right? That was the temptation, and that's what she succumbed to. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, and you'll remember the rest of it, how that was sin. It broke the will, broke the word of God. The verse 7 says they knew they were naked and they fell under condemnation and all the rest of it. Now that same spirit is working today. The same demonic spirit that worked in the lives of God's people in the garden is working in the lives of God's people in the church. And that same spirit comes to you in a subtle, subtle way. And most Christians do not see this. And we are gathering unto ourselves so much knowledge and so much information that we take Jesus and we sit him over here in the corner where we can worship him once in a while. But as far as running our daily life, we're using our own systems. And we've got step 1, 2, 3, 4 to get healing. We've got step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to get the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We've got step 1, 2, 3 in order to get prosperity. And we become our own gods all over again. Now, when you do that, you're going to find that it's not going to work. You will find that God will not allow himself to be manipulated, and you cannot use him. You may know him, and this is what I want to get across to you. This is so important that I'm sensing that I'm not getting it through to you, and I must depend on the Holy Ghost. He's got to get this into your hearts today. I can't do it. I just bring you the word, but he'll have to put it in your heart. And that is this. If you will strive to know him and love him, you won't have to worry about any of these other things. You won't have to worry about your health. You won't have to worry about your prosperity. You won't have to worry about wisdom and guidance and knowing the right thing to do. You won't have to be concerned about any of that because he will take care of it. Have you ever had God give you something that you didn't even know you wanted? And when you got it, it was just so wonderful, and you can't even put it into words, and you couldn't share it with someone else. They just wouldn't understand, but you know. And God knew you needed it, and you had it before you ever had a chance to ask him for it. Do you know what I'm talking about? God wants to work in your life every day like that. He wants to work for you every day like that, and all he wants is for you to simply love him. He wants to be to you like as a heavenly father, like your earthly father is. When you were 5 years old, did you know you needed to go to school? Did you know that? But your dad did. And he took you down and enrolled you in a school, didn't he? Because he knew what you needed. He knew when you needed it. And he knew where to put you, didn't he? Now that's the way our Heavenly Father wants to work in our lives. What's he asking of us? First commandment, greatest commandment. What is it? Love me. Just love me. Know me. Seek me. Don't seek my things. Seek me. Me. Because if you'll seek me, I will give you every good thing. I will pour it out upon you. It will run you down. You'll be going along living your life and these blessings will overrun you. That's what Deuteronomy 28 is all about. But we have learned so much about the promises of God, and we've learned so much about the Word of God, that we have unknowingly, many of us, begun to use the Word of God as a tool to manipulate and to use to work our own life, and we become the God of our own circumstances. Now, let me give you just a couple of scriptures. I'm not going to read through these, but I'm going to share a couple of them with you, and I'm going to show you how knowing the Lord and loving Him will solve some major problems that Christians have. In Hebrews 12:2, we are told to look unto, just write these down, don't turn in your Bibles because we're going to move too fast. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And then it goes on to say, who endured such contradiction of sinners, lest ye be weak and faint and be weary in your minds. To know Jesus and to love Him will give you power over discouragement. When we get discouraged, we say, well, what does the Word say about discouragement? What formula do I use for discouragement? Let's send to Texas and get a couple of tapes, you know. This guy's got a ministry in discouragement. We go all that. I mean, that is really dumb. That is really dumb. Now, I'm not putting down teaching ministries. Thank God for teaching ministries. But that's not what we need. You don't need an album of tapes. You simply need to love God and look to Jesus, and what'll happen? He just sets you free from that discouragement. Read Hebrews, the 12th chapter yourself. Then while you're in the neighborhood, go over to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and read the 16th and 17th verse where it says, and I say unto you, if you will walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What's that all about? When you love God with all of your heart, you will not fulfill the lusts that your flesh wants to do. You see, your flesh won't have any power. Loving God will destroy the power of the flesh. It has power over the flesh. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Loving God will give you power over the devil. Mark chapter 5 verses 6 and verse 15 are two verses you want to see. And the intervening verses contain the story of the Gadarene demoniac. The man who came to Jesus, and in verse 6 we're told he worshiped Jesus. He just came to Him and fell down on his face before Him and worshiped Him. He loved Jesus. In the 15th verse, we find this man seated, dressed, and in his right mind. Loving God will give you power over a confused mind. And let me say just a word here. There is a great move within the body of Christ today, and a great uprising, I guess I could say, in the ministry of inner healing, memory healing, mind healing, and all of those kinds of things. And if you go to the Christian bookstore, you're going to get all kinds of books on those subjects. There are a great many people in the body of Christ today who have ministries in inner healing, mind healing, emotional healing, memory healing, and all the rest of it. And if you'll read the books, you will find that they are basically books on amateur psychology. And they will say, take you back into where you had an oppressive father or a mother who didn't love you, and you were forced to eat your peas at dinner, and it wasn't right for your dad to do that, and that gave you a warped psyche, and that's what's causing your problems today. And if you just understand that, you'll get over your problems and you'll be spiritually free. Garbage. Now, I'm going to tell you why it's garbage. God is in the mind healing business, and He's in the memory healing business, and He's in the inner healing business. But He's not in that business by taking you back and having you understand everything that happened in your past any more than you get physical healing from cancer by understanding how cancer works. Now, when you have cancer in your body, you don't go read a book on cancer. You go read a book on healing, which is the Holy Bible. Is that right? When you've got a problem in your mind, you don't need to go read a book on psychology. You read a book on healing. That is the Holy Bible. And you be careful about folks who are taking you into all kinds of systems and techniques to get your memories healed and to cause your wounded emotions to now be healed. It's a dangerous place to be. Paul wrote in the 3rd chapter of the book of Philippians, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on. You don't need to know and understand everything that your father did to you as a child. You're getting some psychiatry. That's all you're getting. You're not getting divine healing for your mind. And this is an area where I think we've had more abuse than in any other that particular area. We have taken the Word of God and we've used it as a manipulative system to practice what we call Christian psychiatry or Christian psychology. I don't see anything Christian about it, frankly. The healing is Christian. See? The deliverance is divine. In 1 Kings chapter 3, if you'll read that, you will find how to have power over poverty. Solomon had an appearance by God in a dream one night when he was at Gibeon. God said, "What will you have me do for you?" Solomon could have had anything he wanted, but he said, "Give me a wise and understanding heart that I may be able to fulfill the ministry that you have given me." And God spoke to him and said, "Because that's what you asked, I'm going to give you also, in addition to that, wisdom. I'm going to give you great possessions, great wealth, and a long life." But he never asked God for that. All he did was love the Lord, and the Lord provided those things for him. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, you will find that loving God will give you power over shortened life. It will give you long life and length of days. And so on and so on and so on. We could go on, but I think you get the idea. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to give you two more passages of Scripture, and then we'll wrap this all up. Matthew chapter 6. Now get this, church. This is so important to you. Young people, you be listening. Don't you get tired because I've been preaching for so long and because the service is a little lengthy this morning. Listen carefully because it'll make a difference in your life. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. When I was a young Christian, I was operating a business at that time. And in those early days, as I was saved and then filled with the Holy Spirit, I love God so much. Not any more than I do today, I don't mean that, but it was just the most marvelous, tremendous experience that I had ever had. I wanted to be with Him all the time. I hungered for His Word. Hours I would spend in prayer. Just to be in His presence was, I was on a honeymoon, if you know what I mean. I didn't want to ever leave that. It was so wonderful. And I had a business, it was my own business, and I wasn't responsible to anyone other than myself and the Lord. And so when I would go into my office in the morning, I would get done the immediate things I had to do, and I'd go into my office and I'd close the door and I'd just read the Word all day. I'd spend time with the Lord, just pray in tongues, and I'd stay in there all day. I'd come out long enough to go to lunch, and I'd take my Bible with me, and we'd fellowship over lunch. And I'd come back after lunch and go in the room, close the door again, and we'd just spend that time with the Lord. I mean, it really is like a honeymoon. You know, when the kids go on a honeymoon, they go into the room and they never open a door, you know, for a week. It's that kind of a relationship. That's what was going on. That's the way it should be. And during that period of time, my business wasn't doing very well. Because I wasn't running it. I would get my monthly tally, the statement at the end of the month. I was losing thousands of dollars every month. And the devil would say, I mean, you know, the devil always talked to you and encouraged you at a time like that, you know. You talk about a guy who loves to kick you when you're down, that's the devil. Amen. And he would just, in my mind, he would say, "Well, you're stupid. You know what to do. You can't sit here in your office and read your Bible all day and expect your business to prosper." And accusations would come and condemnation would come. And then right behind that just would bubble up out of the inside of me, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Just calm and peaceful. And I would say, "Okay, Lord, this is what I'm doing. I am seeking You. I love You and I'm seeking after You. And that's all I want is You." Month after month this went by, this happened. From August 1975 August 1976. Yeah, August 1976. No, August 1977. Almost 2 years. And in that period of time, we experienced a loss every month. Every single month, we lost money. Every month the devil would say, "You're a fool." Every month the Spirit of God would say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." In August of 1977, I didn't do anything any different. But in August 1977, we had the biggest month we have ever had in the history of the company prior to 1 month we had just this past year. And in the month of August, September, those 2 months, the Lord returned everything to us that had been lost in that period of time. Now that's God. Now see, I can't give anybody any glory about that except the Lord. I have proven in my own life that it is profitable to love God. I have proven in my own circumstances that the most important thing you can do for yourself and your family, your business, your health, anything else, is to simply love God. 2 weeks ago, I could hardly walk because I had a corn or something, was in the base of my, between my big toe and the next toe. And it was sent up like a spike, you know, up into the flesh. And I walked kind of with a limp if I would favor it. But I just refused to favor it. I laid my hand on it one day. I said like this. Believe God for it and went on. That thing is completely gone. Just no trouble with it. Loving the Lord. When was the last time you said, Jesus, I love you? When we weren't singing a song or somebody was leading you in that. You just said out of the abundance of your heart, you said, oh, Jesus, I love you so much. When was the last time? When was the last time you said, Father, I love you like no other? I just love you. When was the last time? Think about it. Seek ye first, Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what will be added unto you?
All.
Say that, please.
All.
What is the secret of kingdom living?
Seeking God,
loving him, knowing him, and all things will be taken care of. We spend so much time seeking health, and that's time spent away from seeking God. How many of you understand what I'm trying to get across to you this morning? Now let's go to Jeremiah. One last scripture. Jeremiah chapter 29. This is why so many Christians don't have it together. This is why so many believers are lacking. I am well satisfied that if I direct your attention to Jesus, I'm well satisfied that if I preach Christ and what he did, that the lost are going to get saved, the powerless are going to get empowered, the sick are going to get healed. Jeremiah verse 29, verse 10. Chapter 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil. God's not out to get anybody. To give you an expected end, I want to bless you. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. How do we find health, deliverance, salvation, prosperity, the blessings of God? By seeking him. I will hear you, he said. You seek me with all your heart, you will find me, and I will turn away your captivity. As far as I'm concerned, if there is a secret about a victorious Christian life, that's it, right there. Now, I have preached to you this morning probably one of the most important messages I have ever delivered. I have used a key today, I've delivered to you a key today that unlocks the blessings of the kingdom of God. I cannot overemphasize to you today how important it is that you allow the simple truth that I've given you today to penetrate your heart, for it will make a change in your life. Stop seeking healing. Seek Jesus. Stop seeking righteousness. Seek Jesus. Stop seeking sanctification. Seek Jesus. Stop seeking power. Seek Jesus. And all of these things will be added unto you. Without them, you can do, without him, you can do nothing. With him, Paul said, I can do Do you see how that fits together? Don't make the same dumb mistake Eve did. Amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads, please. Father, now let me pray this way in light of what you've had me to say this morning. I would ask you, Father, by your Spirit, to quicken and remind us of this truth anytime we are deceived, enticed, or led away from this primary relationship, loving you and knowing you. If we are tempted to think that we can utilize the systems and the formulas, use the Word and the Spirit of God to manipulate the circumstances of this life and enthrone ourselves once again at the center of our lives, Father, we ask that you would sound a warning alarm for us, that we not fall for the same line that Adam and Eve fell for. We see that if they were able to be deceived, that potential exists for us as well. But if we draw near to you and stay near to you, stay plugged in, so to speak, loving you daily, ministering to you, spending time with you, getting to know you, you will protect us from that, prevent that from happening. You'll provide health before sickness ever has a chance to attach itself to us. You'll provide prosperity before we even know we have a need. You will know about our circumstances and answer before we have a chance to even ask. And then that'll cause us to live a life filled with praise and worship as our love for you deepens more and more. Oh, would, Father, that all of your people would live this kind of a life. I pray, Lord, that you would do whatever is necessary in my life to see to it that all the days of my life, I live it that way. I ask you to do the same for all the members of this congregation. Anybody under the sound of my voice. There's someone in this congregation this morning, Father, that has a need, whatever that need may be. There's someone here today who is lost and undone, who has not been born again, does not know the power of a new life in Jesus. Still has guilt for his sin. Has not experienced the forgiveness of God. I pray, Father, that that person or person's attention be directed to Christ today. That Jesus would be sought. For to know him is to know salvation. Salvation is not a plan, it's a man. Healing is not a system, it's a man. To know Jesus is to know everything we need to know. To have him is to have all that pertains to him. Stir that truth in us, Father, on a perpetual basis, regularly, from time to time, that we never forget it. Stir within us a deep and abiding love for you. Hallelujah.
In his name.
Amen. You're dismissed. As every head is bowed and every eye